The art of meditation is a lost art. The modern age is so filled with things going on and the clamor of voices in all directions that there are very few people that practice the art of meditation. It is a biblically encouraged art. And I'd like you to turn to Psalm 108. Perhaps in an attempt to aid all of us in that art of meditation. Spurgeon, in the Treasury of David, said this: "The art of meditation is not only the busying the thoughts, but the centering of them, the staking them down on some spiritual matter." And he has expressed it extremely well there. It is not just busy thoughts, but it's the determined placing of the thoughts on Jesus rather than something else, on God's Word rather than the competing ideas of the world. Now, David said in Psalm 19, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." David was skillful in meditation, and we must learn from his skill on how to do it better ourselves. Our text today is Psalm 108. The first six verses of that psalm portray his steadfast resolution. David was a determined person, and he was determined in his meditation as well. And we need to exercise some of our determination and grace from the Lord in keeping our heart settled on him. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered. Save me with thy right hand, and answer me." These first six verses portray his steadfast resolution. He was determined to put God first in his life. He was determined to commandeer his wandering mind and to fix it upon the things of God, upon the person of God, upon his blessed revelation in the Scriptures. And we need that kind of determination. No one ever meditates on God by accident. No one ever thinks about Scripture by accident. This is a definitely directed thought, concentrating upon things that are more important than anything else in this world. And friends, let's recognize that the world is about us, clamoring for our attention constantly. We're living in an age that is absolutely filled with contradictions to what is in Scripture. And we have rival thoughts coming from not just the media, the newspaper, the magazines, TV, just constant clamor, but it's from society, all interested in different things, not God. All saying this is a good thing for you to think about and get engaged in, but it's not God. It's just constant, and we live in the midst of this clamor of conflicting voices trying to drag us away from the thought of God. And David says, "O God, my heart is fixed." Now that's a steely determination on his part. And if you've ever tried the art of meditation, you know that it takes a steely determination. The interruptions, the competition, is just nonstop. But David was thinking of God. He was fixed on God, not his troubles. Friends, that's one of the biggest temptations that we have, to let our mind dwell on our troubles, our problems, our difficulties, our physical diseases, whatever they may be, our weaknesses. Our mind naturally gravitates to these things. We tend to feel sorry for ourselves and get involved again in how deep down in the hole we are and how can we scramble out of it. And the very thing that we need, we're ignoring: the heart fixed upon God. God can deliver you from every problem. God can solve every difficulty you've got. God can bring you out of every trial, every trouble that you are in. Are you thinking about how he can do this? Are you thinking about him in the midst of his deliverance? Or is your mind wandering as it is tugged here and there by events and circumstances and the blathering words of modern society, just filling the air with nonsense? David's heart was fixed. And to express that, he decided to sing. That's a beautiful thought. I will sing and give praise. Well, David was skilled in that regard. He had a beautiful voice. He had tremendous musical ability. He was a harpist of great skill. We know all this from what Scripture says incidentally about him. But he's not doing that because he's such a good performer. He's doing it because he needs it. Friends, we need it as desperately as he did. We may not be so good as a musician, but we need the power of the praise of God in our lives. We need the release that it gives us from the clamoring contradictions of the world about us. We need to stop in the midst of all this pell-mell disaster that's going on about us and fix our heart on the things of God. And in our hearts, celebrate him and sing his praises and thank him for who he is and what he has done and the blessedness of living life in his presence. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. Yes, awake. All of us are not musicians, but we can sing in our hearts. We may not sound too good out loud, but there's a song in the heart that doesn't count in musical precision. It's a song that comes from within. And when he says so clearly that he will awake early and sing, that's a convicting thought. What is the first thought you have in the mind when you open your eyes? Another day. Well, all of us are tempted in such a direction. But remember what David said. First thing that comes to mind, praise God, another day of opportunity. Praise God, another day of divine blessing. Is that your first thought in the morning? It may not be. Friends, it ought to be. You have a compact with yourself. When you wake up in the morning, you're going to think about God first. You're going to quote a verse of Scripture first before anything else takes over. Maybe you never thought of that before. Maybe you just wake up and it's the clamoring words of a new day and busyness and this, that, and the other and all the things you have to get done. It all starts, should start, with God. He's the one that can bless your activities in the day. And if he doesn't, boy, it's going to be a hard day. He's the one who can calm your thoughts and prepare you for whatever lies ahead of you. And we need that. We don't know what lies ahead. Sometimes it's more than we have planned on. But His presence is a calming thing if we think about Him. Too many times we get up in the morning and, oh, I've got this to do. Oh, I've got that to take care of today. And we're off and running. And never a thought for God. We need to think about God. My heart is fixed, David says. It was a compact he made with God. First thought in the morning, God. He was going to fulfill it. That's a good vow for every last one of us. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto Thee among the nations. Yes, he's going to sing and praise God during the day. There are times when blessings come, when we are thrilled over good things that happen. And isn't that a good time to celebrate God's grace and loving kindness? Of course it is. Well, what if others hear? Let them hear. They need to know that you're thankful for God's blessings. Others may forget to praise Him. When good things happen, you can stop and thank God. Praise the Lord for this. Some people will be surprised. They never think of praising God. They need to. He was going to glorify God with the harp. He was skilled in music. Now that's great. If you're a musician, you can sing on key. That's all better. Whether you can sing or croak, one way or the other, the celebration should be there. The praise should be in the heart, whether it's expressed skillfully or not. What strikes me is that this very verse is found in Psalm 57:7. The very thing, and the text of that one says that he was hiding from Saul in a cave when he sang that. Boy, friends, we don't think like that. When we're hiding from disaster, when we're trying to get away from the foes pursuing us, we aren't usually celebrating God. We aren't usually praising God. We may be praying desperately for help, all right, but praising God? David did. He took time out to praise God. He thought of God, and he thanked God for the blessing, the grace that comes from God. That's a tremendous lesson for us all. We must think about this as well. In verse 4, "For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds." And here David uses figures of speech to instruct us in certain things about the nature of God. His mercy is so great, it towers above the heavens. And we can't even imagine how great that is. But His mercy is greater. And we need to think about that. We need to ponder that as to how great His mercy is. It is infinitely great, greater than the universe. That staggers us. Thy truth reaches to the clouds. The truth of God that we hold in our hands in this blessed book is a work so powerful, so great, that it towers above the clouds. And we have the privilege of reading it, the privilege of thinking about it, hiding it in our hearts, letting our mind dwell upon the precious truths of this word that is infinitely great, infinitely powerful. And we tend to read it only occasionally. We need to keep our minds dwelling upon this precious book. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above the earth. He turns his thought to what he should be doing all the time, exalting God, praising God for who he is, praising God for how great he is. Now, friends, that again is a convicting thought. We need to be doing that. Instead of going morosely about our tasks, struggling with this, that, and the other, we need to be thinking about how great God is, how magnificent he is, how marvelous it is that we have the privilege of serving him, being a testimony for him in this wicked world, that's something we tend to think of rarely, rather than meditating on it systematically. That thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand and answer me. What an interesting thought. Thinking about God, praising God, celebrating Him, that I might be delivered. That isn't prayer, it's celebration. And God takes it more seriously than our prayer. When we're praising God, His answers come. When we're thinking about how great He is, He provides deliverance. We don't even have to ask. He's there listening. He's there prepared to help. And for most of us, we've got our lists, you know. Lord, I need this, I need that. This is a problem, that's a problem. You know, we've got a long list that we can go over. And we don't need it. He knows all that. You can't inform Him about anything. We can worship Him. We can praise Him. Celebrate how great He is. Oh, yes, He knows the whole list. He knows everything we need. Beyond that, He knows of a multitude of things that we need, and we don't know we need them. Without His help, we're in for real trouble. So don't think that your petitions are informing God about something He doesn't know. He knows everything you need. He knows precisely the order in which you need to get it. And there's no worry about that at all if you're thinking about Him. Friends, this is what we need. Not more prayer lists to go through. More attention to how great He is. And how powerful He is. And how wise He is. And how loving and gracious He is. The answers will come. In verse 7, God has spoken in His holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem, mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Over Philistia will I triumph. And here we see David's solemn rejoicing. He goes beyond his resolution now. He's continuing in that resolve, but he's rejoicing in most solemn form here over what God is doing and what God will do. God has spoken in His holiness. Yes, God's revelation, every last word in Scripture, is a revelation of holiness. He is completely separate from sin. He is absolutely untouched by the contamination of this world. And yet He is here in spirit in the midst of this world to help His people, to deliver them, to bless them. That's marvelous that He can thus be present everywhere. But now David thinks about the next point in his agenda. He is at war with Edom. There's a tremendous problem that he's facing. How can he succeed in all of this? And God gives him the answer. God in His holiness says it's already fixed. And he claims, I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Here is God saying what He's going to do. David has a little army, and he is prepared to fight. He is a man of courage, a warrior. But he needed God's help. God says, quit worrying. I will divide whole nations. I will mete out, measure the valley of Succoth. David's little army didn't even fill that valley. Gilead is mine. Well, here, this is what David was worrying about. How is he going to face the armies in Gilead? God says, I own it. Don't worry. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is the strength of mine head. Here's territories that God says, they're mine. Don't worry about it. I am in control. David didn't have to just scramble desperately to raise an army and face the foe. God says, it's all mine. I'll provide it. Moab is my washpot. Oh, what an insult. Moab that he was worried about. God says, this is my wash tub. I'm going to clean it out for you. So what David was worried of was not a concern to God at all. God says, just this is a tool I can use. Over Edom, I will cast out my shoe. He's going to shake the dust off his sandals over Edom. And David was scared to death of that Edomite army. God wasn't. God was going to get rid of them easily. His power is supreme. What was David worried about? Over Philistia will I triumph. And here was the single biggest worry the Israelites had. The powerful Philistine army. Now David had already met them. He had met Goliath. God had given him the victory. And he had forgotten. Friends, we tend to forget these things. That God has delivered us in the past. That God has answered prayer in the past. He has done so much for us in the past. And here we are worrying about the future. That's crazy. And David considers all this. God is in control over these nations that we're threatening. He's given victories in the past. He's able to do it in the future. If he could deliver you in past times, he can deliver you in the present. He can deliver you in the future. Why are you worrying? Because you're not meditating on God. That's why. Friends, we all tend to get distracted. We all tend to worry about things. We have no business worrying about them. God knows. God is in full control. He is guiding our steps. And we can go forward in peace, knowing that He will guide us, that He will accomplish His purpose. We shouldn't worry about those ominous, impending enemies. God says, no, that's just a washpot of mine, a tool of mine. It's a place where I can shake the dust off my feet. They're nothing to worry about. Friends, when you meditate on the greatness of God and the power of His presence, all your foes begin to shrink. All the catastrophes looming before you seem to go down and disappear. None of them are catastrophes to God. None of them are enemies that can threaten God's power. And we must recognize this, friends. We worry too much. We don't pray like we should. We don't give thanks to God as He deserves. That's what we ought to be thinking about. Not the problems. Not the enemies. God can take care of all of them without our help at all. Beginning with verse 10, we see His certain recognition of God's great power. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not Thou, O God, who hast cast us off? Wilt not Thou, O God, go forth with our hosts? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for He it is that shall tread down our enemies. Now he has found the answer to his worry, the solution to his problems. It's God. Friends, that's always the solution. We tend to think in terms of material goods and wise planning and all the rest of these things. God is the solution. His power, His guidance, His presence, that is the solution. And we must never forget that. Who will bring me into the strong city? God will. He'll defeat Edom. Who will lead me into Edom? God will. He'll direct the army. He'll bring about victory. David didn't have to worry. Friends, it doesn't matter what enemy you face. It doesn't matter what problems are lurking before you. They can't intimidate God. They can't make Him worry. He knows exactly what He shall do. Why should we worry? Why should we fret ourselves over difficulties and trials? There are no difficulties for God. He's able to solve every problem. He's able to answer our prayers. He's able to guide us in the right pathway. He's able to give us victory over the trials that lie before us. They can't destroy us because they can't destroy Him. He is in control. Once David understood that, what peace there was, what joy, what celebration, that God would care so much to deliver, to empower, to accomplish His purpose. No wonder David asked these rhetorical questions to cause us all to ask such questions. Wilt thou, O God, not go forth with our hosts? Yes, He will. And He'll go forth with you, too. And he prays, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Unfortunately, that's the first thing we think of. We think of running to man for solution to our problems, getting help from human resources, financial help, whatever, when we should be running to God first and asking Him to accomplish His purpose and provide for our needs and difficulties and leading us in a pathway that has His blessing on it. And in verse 13, finally, he comes to the solution of all his problems. Through God, we shall do valiantly. Through God, we. And he chooses that very deliberately, not just I, because here he is speaking for all of God's people. Through God, we shall do valiantly. Don't worry. Don't despair. Don't look at the difficulties and the enemies and panic. They're there to cause you to turn to God and seek His help and ask His blessing and guidance. He is fully able to give it. He can empower your ministry. He can see that your service counts for Him. He can guide your steps. There is no wilderness so trackless that He cannot lead you through it safely. Through God, we shall do valiantly. That is a tremendous verse to keep in mind. We need to recognize that it is not our efforts, it is not our strength, it is not our wisdom. We haven't got enough of any of these things to count. He has it all. Everything we need. And when we center our mind upon Him and cause our thoughts to dwell upon Him, we have come to the resource that satisfies everything, that empowers our ministry, that guides our steps, that enables us to please God and achieve His purpose for men. Friends, we worry too much. We turn to poor resources too quickly. We need to turn to God first. Through God, we shall do valiantly. He will empower us. He will solve the problems. He will accomplish His will. And we need to walk by faith, trusting in Him to do it, expecting Him to win the victory, expecting Him to achieve His holy purpose in us. also. David knew it and expresses it in this psalm so well. But Paul had that same confidence in Romans 15:29. I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. That was his certainty. He understood exactly what David meant. He knew there were enemies. He knew there were disasters ahead. Didn't bother him at all. He was going to get to Rome. It was the will of God. He was going to preach the gospel. It was going to be done because God willed it. And he didn't have to worry. And when the storm came that threatened to sink the ship, it didn't worry him. Everyone from the captain on was in panic. A storm no one could face, and the ship about to go down. Paul said, don't worry. God said, I will see Rome. Friends, let's be sure our thoughts are fixed, centered upon God. He is everything. He is fully able to take care of us, fully able to accomplish all his purpose through us. Worry is inappropriate. Thanksgiving is most appropriate. Every head bowed, every eye closed. O Lord, forgive us that we forget thee. Forgive us that we go about our tasks thinking of difficulties instead of thy deliverance. Forgive us, Lord, that we make prayer a last resort. Help us that we may day by day learn to fix our thoughts upon thee and think about how great thou art and how wise thou art and how loving thou art. Help us, Lord, every day to meditate upon thee, to think of thy greatness and thy compassion and the love that the Lord Jesus manifested upon earth and still pours out upon us. Thank you, Lord, for all that thou hast done, for all that thou art doing, and for all that thou wilt do by thy grace to thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.